Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. We begin about 14-15 lines down from the top with the words Neimar Hani Tanoi Kehani Tanoi. It's right above the Tosfos Isavar. The Gemara is now reminding us that the machlokis that we had Tanoim in yesterday's shiur between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether we hold Tuma Hutra Betzibur, Tuma Dehuy Betzibur. We said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tuma is Hutra Betzibur, and Rabbi Shimon holds that Tuma is Dehuya Betzibur, as to whether it is something that you need to be concerned about. Dehuya means that unless you have no alternative, you do have to go and take measures to not do the avoda with something that is Tame, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's Hutra, meaning that it is permissible for something that is for the Tzibur to be done Betuma, L'chatchila. And this was in accord with the machlokis that we had amongst the Amoraim, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda hold Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, and Rav Sheshes held like the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Shimon that Tumah is only Dehuy B'tzibur. So this machlokis that we just had, Neima Hani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi, this new machlokis we're going to bring down is in accord with that similar Tanoic machlokis. What is this? The Tanya. As we learned in a Braisa, this is something that we learned previously in the Masechta already, and also we had in Psachim, we have it in Parah, and in other places. So it says, Echod Zeh v'Echod Zeh, both the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and the Kohen who is Sorif HaSaparah, the one who is preparing the Parah Duma, both of them, during the 7 days that they're set aside, that they're Mufrash, so then Mazin Olav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatol Shirusham. They would go and sprinkle upon them the Mechatas, the Paraduma, from all the Paradumas that we had previously. We had discussed this on Daf Dalit. All of the different Paradumas that had been present, they stored in one of two locations possibly, and they would go and sprinkle Bimazin on the coin, either the coin Godol on the 7 days before Yom Kippur, or the Kohen who was making the Paraduma the 7 days before he brought the Paraduma, which was not time-dependent, that could be brought whenever they wanted to, so they would be mazen, they would sprinkle on them all those 7 days, every single day of those 7 days. That's the simple understanding, mazen lo kol shiva, divrei Rav Meir. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, we'll see that this implies that Tumah is dechuya betzibur, because they bedavka want to do it every single day for the possibility that that day is the obligatory day to do it. We'll see this holds like the opinion that hazor bizmano is mitzvah, which we'll learn in the Gemara in a moment, and therefore they want to make sure that they're doing it in the optimal time and not take any unnecessary allowances in terms of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. They hold that Tumah is Dechuy B'tzibur. This is the opinion of Meir, and therefore you don't do anything unless you have absolutely no choice. Here you have a choice. Maybe today is the day that you're supposed to do the Hazos, so do it today. Don't say, well, it's good enough. That's the opinion of Meir. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, as we'll see, he holds Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur. It is permissible in the Tzibur. You don't have to worry about it. Even L'chatchila, you can do with Tumah. And therefore, he says, Ein mazin alav elo shlishi ushvi bulvat. No, you have to go get rid of the Tumah, because you can, and you just do it one time. Your mazah will see why on the third and on the seventh day, and that's good enough to fulfill the mitzvah of doing the hazos. A person who might potentially be Tomei Tumas Meis. So you do it on the third and the seventh day, and you go to the mikvah on the seventh day, as we had discussed earlier in the Masechta, and everything is very good. That's the opinion of Yossi. So again, this machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara will say in a moment, isn't this parallel to the machlokis, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, about Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur? The Braisa brings down a third opinion, which we'll have to explain momentarily. Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim, Rabbi Chanina, who was the vice Kohen Gadol, so he said, Kohen Hasoreh Sapara, for the Kohen that's doing the Parah Duma, and he's Mufresh for those 7 days, there, Mazen Olav Kol Shiva, there we go and sprinkle on him every one of the days of the 7 days. However, the Kohen Gadol, who is doing the Avodah, he's Mufresh for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurin, Ein Mazen Olav, we do not go and sprinkle upon him, Elo just Shlishi Ushvi Bilvad, just on the third and the seventh day. We don't have to go and sprinkle every single day. So it's like a compromise shita. Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim says, in some way I agree with Rav Meir, and in some way I agree with Rav Yossi, and the Gemara will explain this in a moment. So the Gemara starts and says, "My la b'hokum ifli." As I just mentioned, isn't this machlokis between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi parallel to the machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about tumah hutra b'tziba, tumah duchuy b'tziba? Isn't it the Rav Meir sava tumah is duchuyahi b'tziba because he makes you go and do the sprinkling every single day to take care of every eventuality because he doesn't allow you to just go do it b'tumah? Versus the Rav Yossi Savar, Rav Yossi says, no, Tumah Heter Hi B'Tzibur, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and therefore, you just have to do it on the third and seventh day, and that's good enough. Good enough is fine because it's Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. So let us say that this Machlokis is like that. The Gemara will give us several reasons why this is not the case. The Gemara will conclude that this Machlokis between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is not the Machlokis of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon as to whether Tumah is the Hutra or the Chuyah B'Tzibur. The Gemara says, why? But Tizbra, do you really think that that is set up? Hani Tanoika, Hani Tanoika, that's incorrect. Because Isava Rabbi Yossi had to Hibitzibur. If you want to tell me that Ryosi Shita is the Tumah is Hutra Bitzibur, so then Hazor Klal Lomali. Then why would you need any Hazor at all? If the bottom line is Tumah Hutra Bitzibur, so just do the Avoda and don't do any Hazos at all. Now Tosus points out over here in Dibra Maskel Rabbi Yossi that this really is only talking about the Kohen Gadol in the 7 days before Yom Kippur, because he says, otherwise, the parah, that's not something that is a time-dependent mitzvah, so you can do the parah whenever you want, so therefore the concept of tumah hutra b'tzibur doesn't apply in that situation. However, he does bring down, no, maybe not, the kivin the tvu yom kosher b'parah, because as we've already pointed out, they were metame the Kohen Gadol, who was doing the parah duma, so technically a tvu yom is kosher on the parah duma, so therefore, we could argue that this is even talking about Nami Machshir Kohen Hasorev HaPara below Hazor Klal. You technically could do this without any Hazors at all because it's not definitive that he was Tomei. It's only a possibility. And therefore, maybe in this situation, you could say that this is also going on the Parah Duma, and this question that Rav Yossi should not have any Hazors at all applies to both the Kohen Hasorev HaPara as well as the Kohen before Yom Kippur. In any event, the bottom line is that Rav Yossi should require nothing if you're telling me Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur Hazor Klal Lomali. Ella, therefore, the Gemara says it's not the same machlokis. Ella de Kuli Amma, Hani Tanoi, both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi, both of them hold Savri Tumah Dechuyi B'Tzibur. In fact, they both hold the Tumah is Dechuyi B'Tzibur. So then what's the machlokis? This is what they're arguing about over here. Because Rav Meir Savar Amrinon Tvilo Bizmana Mitzvah. Rav Meir holds that you must do a Tvilo at exactly the time that you're supposed to. If you have a mitzvah to do a Tvilo, you should do it immediately and not delay it. And that's called Tvilo Bizmana Mitzvah. So Rav Meir holds that on the seventh day, you must do the Tvilo. Now, we're not sure what the 7 days are here because this Kohen wasn't Tomei at a certain time for sure. It's a Chashash. So therefore, we have to go and be Tovo the Kohen on day number one, because maybe 3 days before that he became Tomei, and this is his third day. And then you do it on day number five, because maybe that's the seventh day. Likewise, you do it on day two, because maybe he was Tomei 2 days beforehand, and therefore this is the third day now. And likewise, you have to do it on the sixth day, because maybe that's the seventh day. Or maybe he was Tomei yesterday, and therefore when you say the third day, that's day three. And then the seventh day will be day seven. So therefore, you have to do on a hazor on day one and on day five. You have to do hazor on day two and on day six. You have to do hazor on day three and on day seven. Now, each of those requires tefillah b'zmanah. On the seventh day, you're supposed to go to the mikvah. And therefore, Rav Meir holds tefillah b'zmanah mitzvah. So you must go to the mikvah on the seventh day. We're not sure what the seventh day is. And therefore, he says you have to go every one of those days. However, Rav Yossi Sovar lo amrina tefillah b'zman mitzvah. He says it's okay if you don't go on the seventh day, nishkefelech. That's what they're arguing about over here as to whether you must in fact go to the mikvah on these days. Rashi explains that this is based upon the pasuk where it says v'chito bayom hashvi v'chibes b'godov. You have to go to the mikvah on the seventh day and wash your clothing v'rachatz. V'chibes b'godov v'rachatz lo bozeh elu lamed ala tefillah shetei b'yom hashvi. Mikvah going has to be on the seventh day. Hazor nami. So once you have to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, so we do the hazors also. We make a hekesh between the hazor and the tefillah that we should say lios mitzvah bismana, that you should do them at the exact time. And therefore hilkoch kol yoma ma'asin olav shema yom bismana. So therefore we go and do the sprinkling each day because maybe that is the seventh day. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi sofer lo amrina tefillah bismana mitzvah. He says we don't hold like this. And He uses, Rashi says, v'haycheto darshina lebim seches kedushin meperikimo, for something else. He darshes those words for a different drasha. And therefore, that is what the machlokas is. But they both hold the tumma is duchui b'tzibur. Gemara doesn't like this either. Gemara says, really? You're going to tell me, v'sover Rav Yossi, lo aminin tefillah b'zman mitzvah? Is that true that Rav Yossi doesn't hold that you have to go be tovel at the exact time that you're supposed to? It's a mitzvah to do it that day? I'll show you that he in fact, does hold the tefillah b'zman mitzvah. But Tanya, because we learned in another braisa, it says, harei shahoya shem kosov al b'soro. If a person has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow written down on his skin, so you're not allowed to erase the shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk tells us, lo yimchakenu, Rashi says, v'ashara lebochek is a shem. Where do we know you're not allowed to do this? V'ibadetem es shemom, v'somach le, lo sasun kein, l'ashem alokeichem. So you're not allowed to go and erase the shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now you got a problem. You want to go take a bath. You want to go take a shower. You want to wash your hand. As soon as you do so, it's going to cause mechikas Hashem. So the Tanakhama says over here, below in this situation, you're not allowed to go and wash yourself. You're not allowed to go and anoint yourself because you're going to be mochik the shame of Hashem. And you can't go into a place where you're not allowed to say the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because by having it written there, you're not allowed to go into a dirty place, into a Beis HaKiseh, for example. You're not allowed to go into a bathroom. You're not allowed to go into a place of Tinofes, where you're not allowed to say the shame of Hashem, so the shame of Hashem here is open, and it's not allowed to be present over there. Now, what happens is, if a person has to go to the mikvah, he has a chiv to go to the mikvah because it's a mitzvah for him, he was tamei, and now he has to go to the mikvah, so what should you do? So we see that the Tanakhama says you got to go trouble yourself. You have to go and trouble yourself to go and find this gemi and go and be tovel only when you have this gemi. A gemi is like some sort of a reed that you can put over the shame of Hashem. It won't be so tight over the shame of Hashem that it causes a chatzitza, but it will protect the shame of Hashem that the waters, as they're flowing over you, will not erase the shame of Hashem. Just by immersing quickly, this gemi will protect the shame of Hashem. So you have to go and trouble yourself to go and find this gemi. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, here's what we're interested in. Rav Yossi, you're telling me Rav Yossi doesn't hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah? Rav Yossi says, Rav Yossi Omer, you're ready to tovel kedarko. You go right away, because tefillah b'zman mitzvah. And you don't worry that the shame of Hashem is going to be erased, because you have an obligation to go right now. So therefore, tefillah b'zman, you're not doing something to the shame of Hashem. U'bavach lo yishav shef. You can't go and rub away. You know, you wash yourself. You can't go rub away the shame of Hashem. But if the shame of Hashem rubs away on its own, so to say, from the water, that's not your problem, because tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, you have to go. Therefore, the kaimelon, the tefillah b'zmana mitzvah komitligi, this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi is exactly about this point of tefillah b'zmana, is it a mitzvah or not? That the Tanakhama says, the Tanakhama of a law being a tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, we don't say that you must go right now, go find the gemi. Only when you find the gemi and you won't erase the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you won't allow the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be erased, because you have the gemi over it protecting the shame of Hashem, only then do you go. No, if it takes you a day or two, if it takes you a while, not a problem, because tefillah b'zmana is not a mitzvah. But Rav Yossi Sovar, I'm reading tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. Clearly, Rav Yossi's opinion is from this brisa that tefillah b'zmana is mitzvah. So how can you say that the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is totally on the fact that Rav Meir says tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah, and Rav Yossi holds that it's not a mitzvah? That can't be it. So Mar says, Taki, you're right, and therefore, Elo dekuli alma lahani tanoim rinan tefillah b'zmana mitzvah. In fact, both of these tanoim hold that Tumah is dechuyah b'tzibur, and both of these tanoim, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, hold that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah. What are they having a machlokas about? This is what they're arguing about. Rav Meir savar makshinan hazol tefillah. Do we or do we not make a hekesh between the tefillah b'zmana mitzvah to say, therefore also the hazos b'zmana mitzvah? Rav Meir makes that hekesh, and therefore you have to do the hazos on every single day. Because just like the tefillah is a mitzvah to do bismana, so too the hazos, it's a mitzvah to do the bismana. Maybe today is bismana, and therefore you have to do it on day 1 and on day 5 and day 2 and on day 6 and on day 3 and on day 7. We'll discuss day 4 momentarily. So that is the opinion of Rav Meir. He's making the hekesh between the tefillah bismana, which is definitely everybody agrees to, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and the Hazor, which Rav Meir says is a chiyuv as well. And Rav Yossi says, "Lo makshin and Hazor l'tvila." Rav Yossi says there is no hekish over here between the tvila bismana and the hazors, which do not have to be bismana. And that is the final understanding, but it has nothing to do with Hani Tanoi, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, like Hani Tanoi, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, because Rav Meir and Rav Yossi both agree that tumah is dechuya b'tzibur. Nu, we just want to finish off this brisa. The brisa brought down a third sheet there, Ruchini Skana Kohanim. So the Gemara questions and says, who does he hold like? Ruchini Skana Kohanim. Now that we've explained the machlos between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is, do you say makshin and hazol tvila? So Ruchini Skana Kohanim, what does he hold? Im meikesh hazol tvila. If he holds like Rav Meir, so then afilu koin biyom kippurim nami. Then he should hold that even the koin gadol in the 7 days that he's mufresh before Yom Kippur should require to have the hazolos every day. But Ruchini Skana Kohanim said only the one who's making the parai duma is required to have the azos every day. How come the kohen gadol, if you hold that we're maksha, that we make the hekesh between hazol and tvila, so then chinina skana kohanim should hold fully like Rav Meir, that Yom Kippur should also, the avoda before Yom Kippur, the 7 days before Yom Kippur, should also require for the kohen gadol to be sprinkled every day. Are you going to tell me he holds like Rav Yossi? He lo mekesh hazol and tvila? He says, no, there's no connection. So then, why does he hold that the Cohen making the parah duma has to have the azos on him every day? He should hold, like Rav Yossi, that we don't make the hekesh, and therefore you shouldn't have to do that. Ilo mekesh azol utvila, then afilu koin and surface apart, nami lo, and it would be adequate to just do it on the third and seventh day. So it's a kasha, which one does Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim hold like? Either Rav Meir or Rav Yossi, either one is a problem. If he holds like Rav Meir, then his shita doesn't make sense. If he holds like Rav Yossi, his shita doesn't make any sense. Kumar says the olam lo mekish. In fact, he holds like Rav Yossi, and he's not mekish, and therefore, technically, he shouldn't require anything other than the third and the seventh day, like Rav Yossi. However, he says the olam lo mekish, but the koyan service apara mahala bi alma, that they made an additional chumra based upon the fact that they were mekel to allow the koyan gadol to be a tful yom who's doing the day of the parah duma. In fact, they were metame him, as we said previously. So because of this one kula, so they enacted many additional stringencies, as Masechta Parah tells us. And this is one of them, that they were maza on the koyan asoris parah every day of the 7 days. So technically, he would hold that you only need to do day 3 and 7. But they made this smile, and they made this additional stringency to do it also on the other days as well. Now the Gemara asks, "Kima naz lahodutan rabbanon?" Whose opinion does the following brisa go like? What does the brisa say? The brisa says, "Ein ben koin asoris apara lekoin gadol biyom kippurim." There is no difference between the koin gadol who's mufresh for the 7 days before the Yom Kippur avoda and the koin who is soris apara, who's couldn't make the paraduma, and his hafrosh for 7 days. There's no difference between these two. Ella, we turn to Chesam and Beis. The only difference is Shezeh, the Kohen Gadol that is Mufresh for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, that Kohen Gadol, Prishosu L'Kedusha, he's being separated for an additional status of Kedusha. As Rashi explains in the top Rashi over here, he's going to be going L'Fnai V'Lefnim. And therefore, L'Konis L'Machane Shchia, since he has to go into the Machane Shchina, we want him to be extra Kadosh. He shouldn't be haughty. He shouldn't be saying, well, I'm going inside the Holy of Holies. I must be something special. And therefore, we're mafresh him for 7 days. And we separate him for 7 days, so he's away from potential kalas rosh of lightheadedness and should understand the severity of what he's about to do. And therefore, this should be an additional emor behavdoloso min abrios. And therefore, he'll have more of an awe and he'll be in a more appropriate mood. This is a kedusha question and not a situation of real tumma. And therefore, the nafkamin of that as well, the Brisa says, the echav kohanim nogimbo. We're not concerned that another coin may touch him. And another coin touches him, it would make him tummy. We're not concerned about that because we're not mafresh him really for real tumah concerns. We're mafresh him for kedusha concerns. As opposed to the coin of Saris Apara, vizeh, that coin who's going to make the paraduma in 7 days, so prishasol latara, there. As we just pointed out, we're bending over backwards to make sure that he doesn't have even a chashash of tumah because we're going to be metami him with either the sheretz, or somebody's going to touch him, another coin's going to touch him, and make him into a tvul yom, either the rice or the rabbanon, like we had the discussion earlier in the Masechta. And therefore, because of this leniency, akalsha, hekelu, the leniency that we made over here for the coin, asoris apara, so we go machmir, 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 in every other way. And therefore, this is a prisha for additional tahara. And as a result, we don't let other people come into contact with him, because they could, chas v'shalom, be mitami him. And therefore, that is the only difference between these two things, Prishas L'Kedusha, Echav Kohanim Nogim Bo, and Prishas L'Tara, Ein Echav Kohanim Nogim Bo. That, the Brisa says, is the only difference between the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen Asarvis Apara before he's burning the Parah Duma. Now, whose opinion does this go like? Come on. It must be, the Gemara says, either O Rav Meir or Rav Yossi, because they hold, both of them, that either you are Mazin on every day like Rav Meir, both of them, or like Rav Yossi, only Mazin for both of them on the third and seventh day. So this Brisa must be either like the opinion of Rav Meir or it must be the opinion of Rav Yossi, that there's no difference in the Hazos. Rav Meir every day, Rav Yossi only Shlishi and Shvi. So this Brisa must go not like Chaninas Kana Kohanim, because the Rabbi Chaninas Kana Kohanim, they should have said over here, Ha'ika Nami Ha. They should have said the other difference is that the coin Gadol, before Yom Kippur, they're not mazim on every day, they only do it on the third and seventh day, like Rav Yossi, because he holds that in fact, that we don't make the hekesh between the tefillah and the hazor, and we only do it because of the Chumra B'Alma. Oh, the Chumra B'Alma is only therefore for the Kohen who saw it as Apara, because he's the only one that we have the additional stringencies for. There's no need for the additional stringencies by the Kohen Gadol, because it's not a Tumah question. Tosos and Dibro Maskel, the Ira Michanina points out, Tamali, he says, there are many other differences over here. Shazer Porish, the Lishkas Parhedrim, Shazer Porish, the Lishkas Shalpanei Abiro, he said, the Lishkas Beis Oeven. There are other differences. For example, one practical one is, this one was put into this Lishka, the Kohen Gadol went to the Lishkas Parhedrin or Palhedrin, and the Kohen Asarvis Apara went to the Lishka Beis Oeven. So, what's going on over here? There are other differences. Tosos answers, Yesh Lomar, the Lo Kochoshiv, we only point out things where one is different, more chashiv than the other. There's a mila for one versus the other, as opposed to lishka, this one versus that lishka. So that's not a mila. Neither one is more important than the other one. This one to lishka's palhedrin, this one lishka's base 11. What difference does it make? We're not interested just in differences. We're interested, when we mention this brisa, things where one is more chashiv than the other one. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, Tosa says inami nearly lafarish the trailing mile kochoshiv. There are two things over here. Shazer prishasu l'kedusha. The Kohen Gadol is separation is for kedusha purposes, and therefore the hainu l'lishkas parhedrin shorso benuya b'kodesh. Ah, that's included in the prisha l'kedusha. He goes into the azara area where the lishkas parhedrin was. And then Tosus brings down, there's two opinions over here as to whether this was Kodesh or this was Chol. Read through the Tosus yourself. It's very interesting. As opposed to the Lishka space of heaven, that was purely for Tahara purposes, so that, therefore, he goes to an area that is not necessarily Kodesh as holy. Okay, Tosus has other explanations as well. A beautiful Tosus. Now we're finally going to get to the question which I alluded to, why on days 1 and 5, day 2 and 6, and day 3 and 7 are we Maza, and we say every day. What about day 4? We don't seem to have any reason to go be Maza on day 4. So the Gemara asks this question the following way. Maskevla Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. Rav Yossi, who's the son of Rav Chanina, says, I understand, Bishlomo Rishon Shemo Shlishi. I understand the first day that you separate the Kohen, we have to go and sprinkle on him, because maybe that is really day number 3. Because this is the third day since his potential tumor. We don't know that he was Matame. So this is day number 3. So we're Maza on day number 1. And as a result, we are going to also be Maza 4 days later. On the seventh day, if this is day 3, then the seventh day will be day 5. As we'll see that in a second. So we have to be Maza on day 1 because maybe that's day 3. But we also have to be Maza on day 2 because Shema Shlishi. Maybe day 2 is really the third day from Mekayim Tumah. We don't know what happened. This is all potential or a concern for Tumah. And likewise, on day 3, you have to be Maza because Shema Shlishi. Because before you were Mafreshim, maybe this was Tameh the day before your Mafreshim, and therefore this is the third day of the Hafrosha. So we understand why you have to be Maza on day 1, day 2, and day 3, because each of those maybe is the third day from the Suffolk or potential Tumah that he might have had that we don't know about. And likewise, we understand why you have to do it on day 5, day 6, and day 7, because if day 1 was the third day, so the Chamishi Shem Oshvi, then day 5 would be the seventh day. And if day 2 was really the third day, so Shishi Shem Oshvi, then day 6 would really be the seventh day from day 2. And if day 3, in fact, was the third day, so then the seventh day, 4 days after that, would be Shvi, Shem or Shvi, because the seventh day, maybe that's the seventh day. Therefore, we understand why you have to do the Hazos on day 1, 2, and 3, because maybe each of those is the third day from the Tumah, and we understand why you have to do day 5, 6, and 7, because maybe that's the seventh day from the Tumah. Wonderful. Gemara says, Maskev Rav Yosi Rav Chanina El Ravi Lama Liazor Klal. Why on the fourth day? Mimadashach, the fourth day is not lo bishlishi ikol sabukei, but lo bishvi ikol sabukei. The fourth day cannot be day number three because he was already mufresh, and we know he wasn't tummy on day one. So therefore, day four cannot be the third day from the tumma, and likewise, it can't be the seventh day from the tumma because he didn't do a hazon on day three because that would be before he was mufresh. So therefore, why in the world when we say mazin lo kol shiva do we do the hazon on day four? It doesn't make any sense mazin lo kol shiva to be mazah on day four. Where it says, what, you have no problem? Ulutaymech, according to you, there's no problem. Hazor kol shiva miyika. How can you ever have, if you're not even talking about day four, how can you be saying that we're mazah automatically on day one, two, three, and five, six, and seven? What about Shabbos? One of those days is potentially Shabbos. Well, Kaimelon, and we've already learned, we had this early in the Masechta, and we had this whole discussion in Pesachim, that we're not mazah on Shabbos. Well, Kaimelon, Tazor, Shvuz, Ve'eno Dochas HaShabbos, that even though it's only the Rabbanon to go and be mazah because you're masaking the person, that's the simple understanding. There are other explanations as well. So you're taking the person and making him from being ois tameh, so therefore you shouldn't be misaki mona. You're not allowed to fix things, so it's a shvus, it's a din de rabbanon. So therefore, we don't allow you to go do the shvus to make the person tar. We said this is even true with the Korban Pesach. That's why we had this discussion in the Gemara in Pesachim, that on Erev Pesach, Cholios B'Shabbos, so you can't do the tefillah in that situation because you're misaki the person. So even though he would be tar that night, it could even the Korban Pesach, we had a whole discussion, you don't do that. So therefore, Tazor Shvus Eino Doches Shabbos. So therefore, one of these days is going to potentially be Shabbos. Maybe day one, two, or three, or day five, six, or seven is going to come out on Shabbos, and you won't do Tazor on that day as well. So how can you tell me Mazen Kol Shiva is every day but day four? It could even be that you're not Mazen on one of the other days as well. Aye, so how are you going to answer that? Elamayisach lemeimar, Shiva levarmi Shabbos. You're going to say, yeah, I didn't mean Mazen Kol Shiva means every day. I meant every day but Shabbos. So I'll say the same thing. Just like you're saying, Shiva Levarmi Shabbos, Hochanami, I'll say Shiva Levarmi Revi. When we said Mazen Kol Shiva, it meant 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6, 7, but it didn't mean day 4. And also, if there was a Shabbos, it didn't mean the day of the Shabbos as well. Amar Rava says, therefore, Hilkach, Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, in regards to Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, the 7 days beforehand are not optional as to when they are. We know what day we said is Rosh Hashanah, so therefore, on day 3, regardless of the day of the week, you're going to be mafresh to Kohen Gadol. It's not up to us to say, let's start being mafreshim on a Sunday, so therefore we can do it in a certain way. Or to be mafreshim on a Wednesday, so therefore Shabbos is day 4, and we only have one day rather than 2 days that we're not doing the hazos. So, in regards to when is Shlishi b'Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia, the third day of Tishrei, we have no choice in the matter. It's going to come out whenever the calendar is set up, based upon when we declared Rosh Hashanah to be. The Lo B'Didan Tayimis, it's not up to us to decide which day we want to go and be Mafresh to Kohen Gadol, which day of the week. Ella B'Kriya D'Yachol Tayimis, it depends on when we declared that Rosh Hashanah would be. When the Edom came and said they saw the new moon, and they say, Mekodesh, 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 this is when Rosh Hashanah is, and that's it. Whatever day of the week it is, that's the day of the week. The clause of Tishrei, on the third day of Tishrei, we start the 7 days of separation, and if that turns out that we have 2 days, both Revi and Shabbos, that we can't do that, so that's the way it is. The Cholemus, the Misrami, clause of Tishrei, whatever day of the week it is, we go and start putting the Kohen Gadol aside. So therefore, it's possible that you'll have a Yom Revi that's not Shabbos, and you'll have Shabbos. So you'll have 2 days. So we say Mazel Tov Kol Shiva, it means really 5 of the 7 days. However, when it comes to the Kohen Asori Sapara, Abu Kohen Asori Sapara, the Bididan Talya Milsa, it's not something that's time dependent, it must be done on this day. We can set it up when we're going to be Mafresh the Kohen, so we can pick which day we're going to be Mafresh the Kohen Gadol. Here, the Bididan Talya Milsa, it's totally up to us, so then be smart about it. Start the period of the 7 days on a Wednesday. So Wednesday will be day 1, Thursday will be day 2, Friday will be day 3, and Shabbos will be day 4. If you're not mafresh on Shabbos, let's make Shabbos be day 4 when you're also not mafresh, because there's no point in doing it. And this way you're able to be mazin in 6 of the 7 days rather than only 5 of the 7 days. So we can set it up that they would always burn the Parah Aduma, starting with the Kohen Gadol, will be Mufresh on a Wednesday, so that day 4 will be Shabbos. And this way, they can minimize the days that you're not being Mazah on the Kohen Gadol, so it's almost Mazin Kol Shiva. Beautiful discussion. Now we go weiter. We quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, that were mafrish the Kohen Gadol to Lilishkas Parhedrin. That's the girsa that we have. Again, I mentioned that the girsa in the Mishnah is it's Palhedrin. And now we have the word Vechule. So in the Ksiv Yad, it says not to be goris the word Vechule because we're not interested in the rest. We're interested in Lilishkas Parhedrin. In any event, you goris it or not, we're now going to discuss what exactly is this Lishkas Parhedrin. So the Gemara starts and says, Tanya, that's the girsa that we have. In the Masoras HaShas, it says it should be Omar. Either Tanya or Omar, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, V'chi Lishkas Parhedrin Hoysa, was the name known as Lishkas Parhedrin? No. V'alo Lishkas Balvoti Hoysa. It really was known as the Lishka of Balvoti. What is Balvoti? So Rashi explains, in Dibra Masa, Lishkas Balvoti, Loshon Sorim, Kachos Nikres Lishkas Sorim. This was the Lishka of the officers. Balvoti means a chashiva officer. And in fact, that's what the Ritva says. It means chashivas. It means a certain level of chashivas. The Meiri says that this is a Greek word meaning officers. The Ari Halavon, he brings down that the word balvoti means loshon ashirus ushrora. It means a person who's very wealthy in an authoritative position. And the Oro says it's the Kavana over here, lechachamim va'anshe etza. These are smart people, they were advisors. And there's also the opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel. That's what Balvoti means. Now the Gemara says, if you're calling it Lishkas Balvoti, so then Ella, Bitchila, Hayukarinoso Lishkas Balvoti. Its original name was Lishkas Balvoti, but they changed it then. Umitok Shinosin the law of Mammon Lekahuna. But when it came about in the second Beis Hamikdash, when the Kohanim Gedolim were no longer Erlecha, in the first Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim Gedolim were very, very few of them, and they were very Erlecha Kohanim Gedolim in general. And in the second Beis Hamikdash, after Shimon HaTzadik, after his time, so they no longer had great Kohanim Gedolim. And in fact, many of them were killed in the very year that they became the Kohen Gadol because they weren't ready to go inside the Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur, and they died. That's why they used to tie a rope around the Kohen Gadol so they could pull him and drag him out after Nebuchadnezzar passed away. Some of them didn't even make it to Yom Kippur. And there were many, many Kohanim Gedolim, 380 Kohanim Gedolim in the Bahi Sheni. The Bahi Sheni only lasted for 420 years. And you had 18 Kohanim Gedolim that were very good, and the rest of them were terrible. And therefore, they used to die in irregular places. They were replaced on a regular basis. And that's the Lashon of Parhedrin. When we talk Shinosin, the law of Mammon Lekuna, since they purchased the Kahuna from the king by money, they bribed their way to become the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, Umachlifin Osam Koshnemus Achodesh. Either the king would replace them every 12 months because he could get more money from somebody else, or they died, and therefore they had to replace them every 12 months or even sooner. So therefore, they were like Keparhedrin Halo. They were like these officers. The Parhedrin was another type of officer. Shemachlifin Osam Koshnemus Achodesh. They would replace them every 12 months, and therefore, Lepiko Chayukarin Osam Lishkas Parhedrin. Therefore, they changed the name from the Lishkas Balvoti, which meant Choshevach Mechubedika people, to the people that were changed every year. Now, what does Parhedrin really mean? So it means, according to the Meiri, that this was a Greek word that meant that it would switch around the people every year. These were officers that the Ritva says they were Anoshim Hamamunim Al Hasharim Valamidos. They were the financial officers in charge of the prices for the various items that were sold in the marketplace and on the measures. And therefore, they would go, as we'll see in the Gemara, they would go and force the prices to be very low for their own nefarious reasons. Either that they therefore could charge higher taxes because the prices were lower and the people buying them wouldn't be so upset because the same price they would be paying, even if it was lower taxes, well, they just lowered the price and made the taxes higher, or that they did it so they could purchase it much more cheaply. Whatever the reason may be, they were beating up, so to say, the storekeepers and the bakers, as we'll see, in order to lower the prices. So again, the original name was Balvoti. They changed it to Balhedrin because of this idea that they were like Kiparhedrin, Alolosh, Machlivin, Osom, Kosh, Name, Osochodesh, Lefiko, Chaykorin, Osolishkas, Parhedrin. Fine. Mora says, Tanan Hots, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is found in Demai. And it says over there, the Nachtomim are the professional bakers. The rabbis only made them take off Trumas Meiser from Demai and also Chala. They had to take off the Chala. The Chala is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, and it's a halachi status like of Truma that a professional baker had to take off. Every baker had to take off. A private baker took off 1/24th and gave this as a matana to the Kohen, and the professional bakers took off 1/48th, the smaller amount. Now, What is Demai? Demai is Duma. We're not sure. Did the Amoratsim take off all the Trumas and Maisers that they had to from it or not? There was a period of time when everybody did take off. But then there was a small percentage of the Amoratsim that didn't take it off. So the rabbis would go there that when you're purchasing something from an Amoritz, you have to presume it wasn't Mufrash, and therefore you had to take off the various Trumas and Maisers. Now, as we'll see, Truma Gedola everybody took off because even Chita Achas Poteres HaSakri, even a single kernel, is exempting you from Truma Gedola. So therefore, they're not going to steal for such a small amount. They'll be Mafresh it, and therefore, even the most stingy Amoratsim that were concerned that they didn't want to give so much Trumas and Maisers, everybody took off Truma Gedola. But for the other things, so we make a Chaver, when he purchases something from an Amoritz, have to take off all the other Trumos and Maisers other than Truma Gedola. So we learned in the Mishnah over there that the Nachtomim, the bakers, the rabbi said, we're going to give you a break. We'll see why they give him a break, because of these Parhedrin that forced them to sell at such low prices. So the Nachtomim were given a break. Lochivu Oson Chachamim, the rabbis were not obligating them to go take off Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser is Meiser min HaMeiser. That's when you give off Meiser Rishon to the Levi, you have to take off a tenth of that and give that to the Kohen. That's called Trumas Meiser or Meiser min HaMeiser. And they likewise didn't make him give Challah. And this is a separate reason. The Challah has nothing to do with the Amoratsim's Demai, because even if the Amoratsim didn't take off Trumas and Maestros, so when you purchase them, you'd have to take off Trumas and Maestros, but the Chiv of Challah is regardless. You're the one that's needing the dough. The Chiv of Challah goes into effect as soon as you start needing the dough, so this is a Chiv on you. So the rabbis made a separate gezerah that they didn't make the Nachtomim take off Challah. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama Truma Gedola Lo, we understand why nobody, not only the Tamidei Chachamim, but anybody, not only the Nachtomim, but anybody who purchased grain from an Amoritz didn't have to take off Truma Gedola, because as I mentioned, the Chita Achas Poteres HaZakri, even a single kernel would exempt you from having to take off Truma Gedola, and therefore they weren't choshes, they would hold back a potential Misa B'dei Shemayim because of not wanting to take off a single kernel. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, this was Yochanan Kohen Gadol who made the following additional decree regarding Demai. And we turn to Tesamon Aleph. He said, "Lefi shesholach b'chol gvulei Yisrael." He sent out messengers throughout all of Eretz Yisrael to see what's going on. V'ra, and he saw she'im mafrishin elo truma gedola b'vad. He saw that people were only taking off truma gedola because, again, chita achas b'teres hazakri. Nobody was not going to take off truma gedola, because if you didn't take off truma gedola and you ate it, you were eating tevel, and tevel is the chiyuv of misa b'dei shemayim. So they all took off the truma gedola. But they didn't take off the other things, so therefore, he said, "Ma'aser rishon u'ma'aser ani nami lo." He said, you mafrish over here, according to many, you have to be mafrish it. Others say you don't even have to be mafrish it. But the simple understanding was, if you have to be mafrish over here, you take off the Maiser Rishon, which is the one tenth, and the Maiser Ani, which is another one tenth, in those years where you give Maiser Ani, and you don't have to give it to them. Why? You take off the Maiser Rishon, Maiser Ani, Nami Lo. Some say you don't even have to take it off at all, because I'm mostly all over right. Because you can tell the Levi, you can tell the Ani, prove to me that you're a Levi, prove to me that you're an Ani, and then I'll give it to you. So therefore, they could be lenient with that as well. Ela Meiser Sheni, why don't we make the take off Meiser Sheni? What's the big deal? You're not losing anything from it. You'll bring it up to Yerushalayim and you'll eat it over there. Nefeshu v'nisku v'nichlu v'Yerushalayim. So why not make them take it off and be mafreshit and eat it in Yerushalayim? Just like everybody else. So why did they give this kula to the Nachtomim? So Ula says, no. Because these parhedrin, that's the whole point in bringing this Gemara in, these officers in charge of the Sharim and in charge of the Mochrei Shuk, the people that were selling in the marketplace, so they forced, they beat them literally. Halalu choftin osan, they pushed them, they forced them, they beat them. Kol shteim asachodesh. All the 12 months that they were the parhedrin, there was a yearly job that got changed, so they would force them. The Omer Lehen, Michru Bezol, sell it very cheaply. Michru Bezol, sell it very cheaply. They forced them for their own nefarious reasons to go and do this. That's why they were known as the Parhedrin. That's why the Kohen Gadol that was switched was called the Parhedrin. So Lo Itrichu Rabbanan. So the rabbi said, we're going to give you a break over here. We're not going to make you go and do this because you're already being forced under such extreme difficult circumstances to sell at such a low price, so we won't make you also take off these additional things and trouble you to go up to Yerushalayim. Maaser Sheni is also less valuable because you can only eat it in Yerushalayim, so therefore they would have to sell their produce and redeem it at even a lower cost, and they would end up losing even more money. So therefore, Lo Itrichu Rabbanan. The rabbis didn't make the Nachtomim have to take off the Maaser Sheni. Gemara says, what exactly is this my parhedrin? That's the whole point of this Gemara. And it says, parsi. These are the people that were in charge of making sure the prices were kept at a certain level. These were the king's appointees in charge of this area. And in fact, that's what the Rabbeinu Eliakim explains. They were like treasurers of some sort. And This is also found in Tosos elsewhere, who says a similar idea. It says the word parhedrin comes from the lotion of pras, gabayim hamamunim govim pras. These are the people that were in charge over here. They took a piece for themselves, and that's the lotion of parhedrin. With this, we conclude today's shir.